up on you.
Power is only worth 15 to 20 million.
Show that phone. I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And as everyone who knows us from the community, we're on 7 days a week here on 860. I ask that all of our faithful listeners go to their telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860. If they live in the tri-state area, that's southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey and northern Delaware, go to 860 on the AM dial, tune in. If they live outside of the broadcast area, go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And as always, you'll be able to listen to rebroadcasts of today's show this afternoon on the Listen Anytime link, which is also right there on the front page. Well, we had a very interesting Thanksgiving holiday. We've been promoting all year our theme, which was highlighting the American-made label, urging people to go out and do their thing throughout Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday to ask questions, what they're buying. I'd like to see more of those businesses putting up on the internet that the product is made here in the USA. That hasn't been happening too easily because a majority of what is up for sale on the internet is still foreign made. But today I'm pleased to say that we're going to have a great conversation with Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, small business advocate, Rich Loges, principal of RJL Technology Integration. I'm Michael Blihash, and I also have greetings today from Curtis Ellis. As you know, he was on last week, did a great job as always. He is the executive director of the American Jobs Alliance, and he is out today promoting the America First Project. Well, today's open forum, I want to hear from everybody on the panel. First of all, guys, I want to say that we've gotten a lot of good people complimenting our show. Hopefully, we'll be able to do even bigger and better things in the future. I want to say a special thank you to each of our panel members. As you know, they are volunteers. And I hope there's a way that we are helping one another, because you are certainly helping us to keep this message going, and the people really appreciate you. I want to also remind you that on the front page, if you click on Rich Loges' picture, you will go to the Rich Loges Show. If you want to hear Mark Andel's show, you just go on the right side, and right under his logo for the store, you will see the Mark Andel Show. Click on that and you'll be able to hear his recent broadcast just right under the Made in America store. And you'll know exactly what Mark is doing, has been doing for over 8 years. Rich, as a writer, was doing his thing for a long time, so he's a professional. Larkin, as a small business advocate and a SCORE mentor, a businessman, I mean, he's been through it all. And myself, I've been doing media for a long time, and I've been in human services for a long time. So I have a background of what people are all about and what people are trying to do to help themselves up the ladder of success during their lifetime. I want to mention that Mark is always in the news with his store. There was another big celebration there at the Made in America store. And of course, he had been doing a lot of things for Small Business Saturday. I saw that article, Mark, and I think that, as always, you're doing the very best. Mark, tell us a little bit about what's happening with you.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? And I think Rich is on. Henry, Larkin, welcome, and our listeners. Mike, it's a huge time of year. You know, I called again the 32-day run from Black Friday to Christmas Eve. You got to be fired up if you're in retail. It's your time to sell and make the money back you invested all year long, and try to make a profit at the end of the day. We're on 27 days of our 32-day run, so all of our we even did a surprise gift store, so we got 8 stores open and running, and making it easy for people to buy Made in America products. Mike, a lot going on. We got a snowstorm here in Buffalo. You know, it's kind of common. Thanksgiving was awesome. Come out of the, you know, holiday. But, Mike, it's a time that our listeners and people got to do their part. It's really a discipline to buy Made in America products. The discipline, you know, you go in, you look for it, you ask for it, you kind of realize what we've been pushing and promoting, Mike, and why it needs to be done and how you can create a job, that consumer with all that power. So it's a discipline to buy Made in America products. We've got to keep this moving, and then we want a culture of discipline. We want everybody to do practice buying Made in America, support in the country you live in. Again, I have Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese visit our store through the buses or fam tours. They understand some support your country. This America First campaign is really, we've got to get healthy as a country again. 50-50 fair trade, me and you, Mike, and our team always talked about. So, you know, I just can't say enough during this holiday season, when you spend your dollar, spend it wisely. Buy a Made in America product. We got so much going on. Like you said, we had Black Friday, you know, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. And it's just really rolling. People are business. Everybody busy. Everybody I talk to, they can't find employees before, number one, skilled trades, but also because we're so busy, Mike. So it's a beautiful thing. We just got to keep it going. We've got to really shut off that TV if it's promoting something that's just not true. If it's not factual, just look out your window. You know, go outside and see the busyness that's going on everywhere. Talk to a business person. So a lot of great things, Mike, going on. We're busy.
Boy, you are singing the great music for American workers. And by the way, Mark, if each of us looked at ourselves as well as our family members and friends, I really think that we could safely say that America already has a very large consumer society. We became the consumer society of the world. Everybody wants to sell in America. However, more recent years, we've seen people now dedicating more of their thoughts to buying American, which is really good because that's affecting the lives and the future of all of our working age and able-bodied people who are adding to the economy. And I noticed in speaking with people, once they have a job that they're happy with, they hope that that job never goes away. And so that's where the consumer comes in. As they go out and they see that it's made in America, not only things made in America, but services provided in America, make sure you go out there and speak up about that, because we want to keep those people that got back into the workforce. I have people who have, were raising children who are, you know, the kids are now in second and third grade and they decided they have to go back into the workforce, you know, to combat the escalating cost of living. And they said, it feels so good to be back at a job, knowing that the economy is better. This is what it's all about. Mr. Logis, how are you doing?
Good morning, Michael. Hope everybody is doing great. And I want to thank Mark, and good morning to our listeners. I want to thank Mark for that email that he sent the other night. If you remember, Mark, I know I wrote back to you with a manifesto
yes.
reply to that. But you know, I want to ask you guys something. And anyone can answer here. I won't put anyone on the spot, but I want to ask. Let me ask Mark. I'll put Mark on the spot. Mark, are you aware, did you see in the news after our midterms how much it was promoted that we have a lot of firsts in our House of Representatives now? For example, we have our first Muslim congresswomen. Connecticut and Massachusetts have their now first female black congresswomen. And Minnesota has, in a district, has their first lesbian mother congresswoman. So what I want to ask you guys is, can someone explain to me, my little brain isn't catching on, can someone tell me how being a lesbian mother is a skill for government? What do you think, Mark?
You know, Rich, I don't care white, yellow, or, you know, size, woman, man, as long as they're qualified for the job. And I think that's what you're leading to. You know, they've got to be qualified. If these are other traits they have, and that, you know, that doesn't play a part in their position, it's like a hiring. I don't care what, you know, the person, where they came from. If they're qualified for the job I have for them, it's beautiful. That's the one that should get that job and position.
So you'll judge based on the content of character.
Exactly.
Not on the color of skin, ethnicity, or gender. Last night, there was a special election in Mississippi. For the first time in Mississippi's history, a female was elected senator. Did you guys read about that last night? Did you see the narrative out of the Democrat media industrial complex that Mississippi elected its first ever female senator? Did anyone see? Did you see that, Michael? Was that promoted and touted on CNN last night?
I didn't see CNN. I watched very little of television lately, but I did see it and I heard about it today. Here's
what it is, Michael. Here's what it is, guys. All women. This is the year of the woman. That's what the Democrats told us. Unless, of course, you don't think like a Democrat. All Democrat women. All women, Michael. All women are created equal. But Democrat women are created more equal than others. Ain't that something?
Well, Rich, I'm going to give you my version of this, and that is this. I think that our media and many of the people on both sides of the aisle have been putting too much time and effort into saying this one's a Muslim, this one's black, this one's a female. We've been talking about getting America to be strong as Americans. And that's something that the media has really done a poor job with. I hear this all the time and it drives me insane. I think to myself, if this person is a Muslim and they had the best ideas, the people voted for that person because they promoted the best ideas to them, not because they were a Muslim. Because the place where they were being elected from was not all Muslims. I mean, it wasn't all women that voted for a woman. It was men and women to equal that amount of voters. But there's too much focus on this. If they took a little more time to talk about the things like we are talking about on a regular basis, how about promoting the stores that are helping us promote American made? How about going out and purchasing something from Mark Andel's store, the Made in America store? In fact, I encourage you to go to madeinamericastore.com, where you're guaranteed to get American made products. If they took that focus, America would be another step up the ladder of success. But because they're worried about this insanity, it's insane what's going on. They're only doing it to take the attention away from anything positive that is happening in America. That's my answer to it. I don't care if it's white, black, green. I work with all people. I have many qualified people who help me. I don't ever look and I don't care. In fact, a lot of the things that I do are on the phone. And when I get to meet the person personally, we are friends because of our phone conversations. I never think, oh, I didn't know that person was this or that. Doesn't bother me. But the news media, Michael, eats themselves to death.
That's reasonable. Before I have Larkin come on, because I absolutely want to hear. That's reasonable, Michael, what you said. And look, I've been fighting with American conservatives for two decades. We believe that the government stays out of our pockets, stays out of our lives, stays out of our businesses. I've argued I think they should stay out of our places of worship and the bedroom. That's my opinion. I feel like we increase our voting base overnight if we take that approach. But that's a different story. That's a reasonable position. I mean, If a woman was going to go and, so like, let's say we knew a woman who said, I want to open a center for lesbian mothers. Well, I'd probably look to hire a lesbian mother. I mean, if a welder showed up to Mark's store and said, oh, I'm here for the welding job. Oh, that's great. What's your experience? I'm British. Okay, but how much have you welded in your life? Well, I haven't. I'm British. Would he get a job, Mark?
No.
Probably not, right? You probably wouldn't do that. So, and again, I'm not trying to say it's an exact comparison, Michael. Let me preface by saying this. But in our history, not all that long ago, there was a certain group in Germany that believed that certain racial and ethnic features and attributes made you superior or inferior to others. That was identity politics taken to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
This way of thinking today this, I'm a Muslim or a lesbian or I'm black, you know, all, I'm a woman. All this stuff is just a like a Miller Lite version of that way of thinking. And what's actually frightening about the whole thing, the thing that actually keeps me up at night, is that there are this half of America that excitedly, fervently votes on that lack of logic. That's the thing that actually keeps me up at night, because those are the ones who make the border policy, the economic policy, the business policies, who educate our kids. So that war, Michael, you're talking, that's the main narrative war that you're talking about right there. Well, congratulations, everybody who won. I'm not questioning the outcome. But what I'm saying is I thought we were moving in our nation toward in a direction where we judged people on their merits, on the content of their character and nothing else.
Right.
We've actually gone way backwards.
With that kind of thinking, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Because, as I said, people in the districts where these individuals were represented, they spoke of what they had to offer. And men, women of all races, colors, creeds went out and voted yes or no for them. I think what may be happening in the new Congress come January is a lot of the people that were used to just being, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican, are going to speak up based upon the needs of their constituents and not only hold the party line. This is something I think we may be seeing as a change in America. With that, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Larkin Connolly. What do you think of that, Larkin?
Oh, my Lord. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where to start. You guys have said a mouthful. You know, amen to everything that you've said. You're 100% right. I learned in civics, and I'm not sure if they teach that. Civics is a course where you learn about your country and how it operates and why it does what it does. I don't think they teach that much anymore. But I learned in civics that if you met the qualifications of a senator or a congressman or a governor or a city councilman and you ran an honest campaign and you went out and campaigned on the issues or whatever it was that you campaigned on, and at the end of the day, you got more votes than the person that was running against you, you deserve a pat on the back. Because guess what? You just won an election.
Right.
Fair and square in a Democratic atmosphere. But what I think we need to be careful of is to have a better understanding of is that we're not living in an America where being a citizen and supporting the country, my country, do or die, patriotism is a great thing. That's not what's going on right now. We're in the midst of a paradigm change in our culture that is villainizing men and parading women around. I actually had a newscaster. So they talked about a story that one of the universities did a study, and they discovered that women, now, we paid for this study. These are important studies. Women sleep better, sounder, longer, and are more principled in the time that they go to bed and get up and more structured when they sleep with their dog.
I heard that this morning, Larkin, yeah.
As opposed to a man. And there was actually...
Or a cat.
There was actually a female newscaster who said, any day of the week, I'd prefer sleeping with a four-legged dog than a two-legged dog. Well, you guys laughed. I kind of didn't laugh. I didn't think it was very funny. I thought... How dare you make that kind of accusatory, generalized comment about men? I mean, I thought we were playing the political correct game here. I just As a matter of fact, I was annoyed. I wanted to immediately get up and walk over and call the network or write him an email and tell him, you know what, you guys don't play fair.
Hey, Larkin, you're getting soft down there with that sun, dude.
Look, it's 48 degrees down here today, okay, just so everybody knows. It's Antarctica.
I walked my dog this morning in 36 degrees. What did you do?
I shoveled snow, Larkin.
Don't need to tell me about the sun. Listen, if you're going to play by the rules, play by the rules. If you want to set the rules. But, we're so bad at this. We had a president that lied to a federal judge under oath while he was the president. We had him getting sexual gratuities in the Oval Office while he was president. And this man is revered as one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. We have another president now today who got a little piece of whatever you want to call it in a hotel in Las Vegas 30 years before he ran for president, 20 years, whatever it was, before he ran for president, and now he's a misogynist. We don't play, but there are no good, solid rules around here.
And Larkin, who is doing that? Who is promoting that? In other words, right. If I was listening to a show on TV and I was reading a newspaper, who is doing that to America? You mentioned about how people are being degraded on TV. In many cases, men, in some cases, women. Everybody looks stupid. Nobody knows anything. Everybody is degraded for something. You didn't know this. Why not? Bah, bah, bah. How about speaking about the good things that are needed in America? Not only are happening, but what is needed? We have to urge tens of millions of people to go out there and support American made. We have to go out and knock on the doors to make sure that the young people are in the right school programs, the trade programs, the bookkeeping programs, whatever is needed. The press does not pay attention to that.
I think your point on, Mike, we've got to do that one-on-one, continue to beat our drum and not get too far out there and keep this going. Like I said, it's a discipline to do what we're doing, and we've done really well at it, our whole panel, but all our listeners got to do their part, buying Made in America, believing in this this concept.
You know, they were talking.
I think the unfortunate part of this, Mark, is that we're battling the concept that this is good for America.
Right.
Because what's good for America isn't important right now. We actually had a U.S. senator from Hawaii accuse the guys at the border who sent over tear gas. By the way, it was as low-level tear gas as you can possibly get. It wouldn't make an ant cry. But it was smoke, and it pushed them back. And he accused our uniformed guys of I'll find you the quote. He accused them this morning of war crimes. War crimes.
Now, that was I saw that, too. And there was a particular person that focused on that. But that, you know, that doesn't make any sense. And the border situation is very bad. Larkin and I, Rich and Mark, and probably 90% of our listeners would remember very well how it was to come into the United States of America. You had to come invited to this country. You had to, in fact, Larkin, I haven't been on that site, but in years past, when we brought someone over from Europe, that person had to not only have a document that they were going to be supported by the person who was welcoming them as a guest, but they also had to provide health insurance for them. You came in through the right door, whether you were coming in for a visit or you were immigrating here legally as a green card holder. This is not being done anymore. What happened to all those rules and regulations? Larkin, people that you know of many nationalities, many of those people came to this country and they had to have a sponsor. They had to have an affidavit of support.
Exactly, Mike. We showed the American-made movie in San Antonio, Texas. I came out of the background. A lot of war veterans that had lost men in wars, you know, shook my hand and cried for the movie. And I had a lady come up that was from Mexico, said, you know, that movie reminds me of what I went through. My family raised $50,000. We got a sponsor, and they gave me the chance to go to America.
That's right. And they had to have that affidavit of support to come to the United States. What happened to that rule? Where are those cases now? This running to the border, running over the border, this has to stop. It just simply has to stop. And the biggest reason it has to stop is this. America can't accept any more people until every person in America is employed as they should be and want to be. We shouldn't be welcoming people just to keep coming in and coming in and coming in.
Can we make sure our homeless veterans are set?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we elected all of this myriad different sexually oriented or whatever, gender-oriented people that Rich brought up. Did we say anything about the veterans that got elected and or reelected?
That's right. Exactly, Larkin, you're right.
Was there anything about them at all?
Nothing was in the press about it at all.
And
no.
Being a veteran is a skill. I've never served in our military, but I'll tell you this, Larkin, in my opinion, being a veteran is a skill. It sure is.
Hell yeah, it's a skill.
That's right. And, you know, right now, Larkin and everybody, and Rich and Mark, I think the Congress of the United States and the Senate has a growing number of people that represent every aspect of American life, period. Second sentence is, we now have no complaint that this group has nobody to represent them or that group has nobody to represent them. Everybody is represented equally now in Washington. Let's get to the business of running America the way it should be.
And Michael, if I can say, just to clarify, lest there be any confusion, I also don't think, you know, a welder who shows up to Mark's shop and Mark asks him, oh, what's your skill? And he says, I'm a white male. Well, that's not really a skill either. Just like being Catholic, Jewish, or a vegetarian isn't really a skill. Although I'll give a little bit of props to vegetarianism. It is a little tough to be a vegetarian. I'll give you a couple bullet points there, Michael, especially if you're a vegan who likes organic, raw, unfiltered goat milk and your green tea vanilla chai latte. Okay? As you wear your Che Guevara shirt, drinking a $10 drink, living in a $4,000 gentrified apartment in San Francisco, talking about wealth redistribution. I give you credit on that one. I don't think being a white man's a skill. And by the way, do I think being a Muslim and a lesbian mother and a black woman and a Native American, do I think that all those individuals, man or woman, bring certain perspectives to the job? Absolutely, Michael. But so does a white heterosexual male born in America. So my question is, why is one perspective considered more desirable than the other? And Larkin hit on it, because it's largely driven by culture and the Democrat media industrial complex, and it all moves downstream. You know, the great Andrew Breitbart, rest in peace, he always said, and I agreed with this point, politics is downstream from culture. And you are seeing that. You are seeing that on national and state levels of government right now. And if anything, if there's any lesson to learn from this midterms, it's that state elections really matter. They're really crucial, right, Larkin? I mean, we dodged a bullet down here.
And you know,
okay, we did.
You know, the Democrats and the millennials are pushing, and I say millennials because they really are the driving force that keeps us alive, even in the narrative of the Republican Party, are pushing universal health care, college for everybody at no cost, guaranteed housing. There's even been some mention of universal food stamps and a guaranteed basic income. This is all a massive socialist welfare state that they want to create, which has never worked. But I'll tell you what doesn't work even worse than that, is inviting them, dropping the borders on a country that is $23 trillion in debt, with 5% of its workforce not working, with all of its consumable item or the lion's share of their consumable items made offshore, having open borders and letting in millions of new citizens from third world countries. What are they smoking? How do they think we're going to afford this?
Who is paying the bill? Like I said before, people had to have an affidavit of support. We've had people come ourselves from Europe. Many of the people who had to bring people over wanted to come for a six-month visit or something to visit their children, had to have medical insurance transferable from the country where they were coming. Where did all those rules and regulations go? But here is my suggestion to the brand new Congress. And it's a very small idea. And it is this. America cannot accept any more working age and able-bodied people until all Americans are employed, period.
And you know what? And don't step up to my front door waving the flag of the country you're coming from, because I won't even look you in the eye.
That's right. And, you know, people that came to America, I have to say, working in human services, the people that came to America 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they wanted to become Americans. They came here with the idea, I'm coming to a new land to build a new life. We can't bring people in any door, whether it's the front door, the back door, or the off the border, if they don't have a way to support themselves, because they immediately become a burden of the United States taxpayer, and that taxpayer is going into debt every second of the day. Just look at the debt clock right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
That's very true. And until, you know, and I can't get a good argument out of a progressive about this, about the immigration thing, because they have no arguments. They have no argument. They keep on saying, well, that's the way it was when our parents came over here. Well, no, it wasn't. I'm sorry. No, it wasn't. And it's as you enumerated. You had to be sponsored. And I get the argument, come on. We had open borders. They were streaming in through Ellis.
No.
Well, that's some real revisionist history.
But wait, I want to tell you something, Larkin. Ellis Island, bring us your tired and all, because that was the Industrial Revolution. And America did not have enough people, working age people, to fill the jobs that were booming in America at the time. So they opened the door. They said, bring us your tired, bring everyone to America. Not to come as they're coming now, to take our jobs and to take our money, to take our welfare programs, but they're coming. They came to fill jobs of industries that were booming in America. That's the biggest thing that is a fallacy. All these people saying that, it, you know, that keep throwing up that statement on the Statue of Liberty. That's not that what it was about. That was during the time when we had jobs by the millions, and we needed millions of new workers because we needed adult bodies. We couldn't wait for people to have children and raise them 18 years to go to work. We needed adult bodies to fill those positions.
Yeah, and having a good border, guys, this is common sense. Larkin, for 2019, I'm going to make you a professor. You're going to run the new School of Common Sense. Okay, we're going to open that institute. This is common sense stuff. No matter what, it's not a political thing. It's common sense. You protect your border. You screen the people coming in. There's a process. It's unbelievable how they turn it around.
But how are we going to – but, Mark, my question, everybody, the open-ended question is, how are we going to – okay, what you just said is, like you said, common sense, okay? Commonsensical people can sometimes have a difference of opinion in policy. You sit down at the table, try to hash out the policy, and try to be pragmatic like Larkin wants. I don't see how. One side is so far strayed. And it is not, and let me just say, it is not correct. It's simply not correct to say that the president is anti-immigrant. The president actually offered DACA recipients more than the number of them than the Dems originally wanted. We had a resolution. We had something that would not be a Band-Aid, but would start the process of remedying a problem that all Americans have been tired of hearing about since Reagan, which is illegal immigration. Sit down, 10 years, stay out of trouble, pay your fines, here's a work permit, get into the system, pay tax, pay Medicare, pay Social Security, and then in 10 years, we'll talk citizenship. There wasn't even a negotiation on this. Well, it wasn't like, well, Mr. President, I don't like this. There was nothing, Larkin. Nothing.
They came back with no alternate term.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. Rich, how many people just walked through your living room? Not many, probably, right? Your door
is
shut.
My next article coming out is about the cult of anti-gun in America. Actually, it's funny you say that because I talk about that exact issue. We are so far apart on common sense issues right now. America is a sovereign nation. It is the most sovereign nation in the history of the world. If Europe had actually taken the lead, had adopted post-World War II an American sovereignty mentality, not because I'm saying we're better, but if they had adopted their mentality, there would be no European Union. There would not be all this chaos about Brexit. In Poland, Michael, where the president there, Duda, is extremely anti-EU, as you know, these things wouldn't have happened there. So one extreme always begats the next extreme. It is not an extreme opinion to say that every man, woman, and child entering the United States, we need to know who they are. Asylum is not based on economic status. It's based on persecution because of race, religion, ethnicity, those things. That's what asylum is based on. The entire idea that our European ancestors entered Ellis Island, Larkin, on that it's like tearing statues down. All it is revisionist whitewashing of history. That's all it is.
Right. That's all.
Which the Dems have a habit of, like, it's a habitual, it's like an addiction for them right now. So why would Mark Andel listen to anyone who talks about guns or the border or policy when the entire sales pitch of the other side is based on one big lie? Not that our side is always honest either, Larkin, and we know that. We know that's not true. But the entire sales pitch of the other side is based on myths, lies, and conspiracy theories. We're not interested in that. I'm done ranting. Sorry, Mike.
No, that was very good. That was very well, because, you know, the Ellis Island thing, every time I hear this gets me angry. Do you know that in the late 1880s, there were businesses writing to Europe and also sending people to bring people to the country because there was such a boom in manufacturing in the United States? We're not doing that. We're not going out to foreign countries and say, come to America now. We ourselves have many of our children go to sleep every day hungry. Many of our children can't afford the day-to-day life that you and I enjoy. Now, why should we welcome more people? Wouldn't it be more sensible if we made a demand of the governments that are receiving our financial aid every year? You have to do something to make sure your people go up the ladder of success so that they're not running for United States or anywhere else. But we're not doing that. Demanding you use our annual aid that we give to all the countries, that aid has to be used to help bring your country up to standards so your people don't run away.
20% of Americans go to bed hungry every night.
That's right.
One in five go to bed hungry every night. in the age category of teenagers, kids below the age of 10, the hunger rate is something abhorrent, like 33%. And when I brought that up, I don't want to let any more people in. That money that we're going to spend supporting people from third world countries who want to come into our country waving a flag other than the American flag. I've got a guy living down the street who's helped me with a couple chores around here. He started a small landscaping company. He's here from the Eastern European bloc, and he's bought a truck. He's got two guys working for him. He's got this old ratty trailer. He's got stuff on there, but anybody who hires him loves the guy. And I want to tell you, he doesn't have one American flag. And he's got all his Christmas stuff up. Oh, his yard lit up like a tree. And he's not got one American flag. He's not got two American flags. He has three American flags on his property. Hmm. And that man is so glad he's here. He's so happy and so happy to be an American.
That's what it should be right there, Larkin.
That's what exactly. It should be. Absolutely. And those
well,
that, are the...
This entire attack... I'm sorry, Mike. This entire attack on nationalism is more revisionist history. The United States in World War II, along with our other dozen and a half allies, did not fight World War II to defeat nationalism. Just because some terrible person calls himself something doesn't mean that it's true. We did not fight over nationalism. We fought war.
Look the word up in the dictionary. That's your answer.
We didn't. You know, another thing is our national leaders didn't plan for anything long term in the United States. Every president in their annual address to the nation, the State of the Union, whether it was Reagan, whether it was Clinton, Bush, even Obama, said we have to do something to stop illegal immigrants coming to our country because it's not fair to the American worker and it's not fair to the American taxpayer. In fact, Harry Reid himself agreed and was on there. I have all the speeches on tape. I should get them. I was talking to Henry about that about 2 months ago, but then I didn't want to do it prior to the election. But every one of them is 2 minutes where we could play that and listen what they're saying. It's nothing more than we're talking about this day. We have to do something to end people just coming in your door. How many of you listening right now would just open your front and back door and say, people, walk through the house, do what you want, you know, go into my refrigerator, you know, put your stuff in the washer, do whatever you want. It's not the way it should be. And every president recognized it, but nothing was planned in advance. We are going to be marking the 80th anniversary of the invasion of Poland on September the 1st. I bring that up today because it was actually in the month of November that they planned to invade Poland on September the 1st. The Germans began to build more tanks, more planes, get more of their troops all, you know, suited up, ready to march on Poland for that invasion. What have we planned for in this country for the last 25 years? We haven't planned for anything. We've argued and bickered in the House and the Senate, and the newspaper people went totally wild covering that instead of saying, why are we losing Americans? Why are we wasting our time? Why are our cities falling apart? Why are there empty buildings that could be used for manufacturing, for offices or whatever? They've never been asking that question. Why? Larkin, why haven't they been asking that question?
Well, because it doesn't sell newspapers. It just doesn't. And I hate to be accusatory, and I'm getting awful tired of this kind of bickering. I'm with you, Michael, all the way. But listen, when one president tear gases the border when 100 people try to charge it at San Jacinto, I can't think of the name of the border crossing, where in Mexico border crossing coming into California. In 2013, they tear gassed like 100 guys trying to cross the border, people trying to cross the border. And under the Obama administration, they were enforcing a law that passed under Obama that he signed. Now we're doing it today, and all of a sudden, we've got a president that gasses little kids. You know, it's not fair. It's not reporting. It's not news. It's not done correctly. And until that corrects, this nation is going to be just constantly at each other's throats.
Right. And I suggest that people go to the United States government site and look at the requirements for immigrating to America. I think you'll be very, very interested to see all that has to be done. You just don't walk in the door and become, you know, a resident of the house, of the country. You had to show who you are, what you're coming. Are you coming here just to take advantage of the taxpayers, of the people? Are you going to try to become an American? You had to. Do we need your service? That's why we're allowing your visa to be approved. This running to the border, it's got to stop. It really has to stop because it kills everybody in the country. As long as we have working age and able-bodied Americans needing jobs, as long as we have boys and girls going to bed hungry, we should never be arguing about letting more people come to the United States.
Well, isn't it as good a time as any, Michael? Isn't it as good a time now as any for those to awake from their slumber? You know, Michael, it's what? The Independence Hall is what? A mile from the Polish American Center? Okay. In that building, what is happening today was predicted. It was predicted in a long time ago, in 1787, when Franklin was asked by a lady there, is the United States a republic or a monarchy? And he said, a republic. You want to finish the sentence? A republic, if you can keep it.
If you can keep it, right.
It's all been a mile away from you. Where you're sitting right now, it was predicted. It was. This is the time now, Mike. Everything that we're talking about here, when you do good, right, when you put the work in, Mark, the cumulative residual effects are gonna pay off. They're gonna be positive.
You know,
but not doing the work, Michael, has the same effect, just the opposite.
And Rich, here is something that I've learned in talking to people, which is really very, very interesting. You know, 25 years ago, people said as more and more of the foreign stuff started to flood our markets, if we complained, we sounded like we were isolationists, we were prejudiced, we didn't want to see anybody in the world have a job except ourselves. I said, well, look how it happened in America in 25 years. Look at the stores, go onto the shelves, go look at the garments hanging in the stores, and you'll see, didn't they succeed and we fail? It took poor leadership to allow that to happen. Henry told me once that in Canada, you must play no less than 50% Canadian artists on the radio, or you cannot play American selections on the radio.
I don't know if that's still the case. I just know years ago when I was up there, I heard a lot of Rush and a lot of Triumph, and I asked about it, and somebody told me that it was the law that they have to play 50% Canadian music in Canada. So you'd hear a lot of Alanis Morissette and whoever else was from Canada up there on the radio.
So this is what we need. This is what we've been working for years. We have to get, when people look on the shelf, they see little labels that say America. We're seeing more of it, more than I've ever seen. Even when I come out of different stores, they put this the stuff with the American-made label and the flags right there so you can see it as you're walking out.
But Mike, remember, I said America got selfish, greedy, and lazy. Many people were selfish. You know, they're worried about their stocks, their portfolio. We, even on our radio station here, we contribute. We want to make a difference for the good of the good for the country. We need more of that and less selfishness.
Right. I agree. Oh, 1,000%. We have the time and the energy as Americans to go shopping. let's make our shopping a little more focused on American-made, especially during this last week of the year. Wouldn't it be nice to go to some family member with a gift and say, I want you to know that I went out of my way to get that for you because it is American-made, and I know you would like it.
And, Mike, I worry that, you know, we want to raise this another level, another bar. We want to keep raising this and educate people to buy Made in America. I worry because America First campaign, because of our president, people start to think differently about it. It's not a political thing. Buying Made in America products makes sense. You put your neighbor to work, period.
And that, you know, some people said, well, America was the Industrial Revolution capital for 100 years. Now it's time to share that with the world. So what are you all complaining about over there? I said, well, when you see your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, and your neighbors out of a job, then you understand what I'm talking about. Until Americans
Or getting a check they didn't earn.
Right. Or because they have to get that check just to live. That's not what America was all about. That's not what our forefathers. In fact, back in 1776, when they did the Declaration of Independence, one of the things that they most discussed, this is going to be an opportunity for us to get rid of England and all these others and trade amongst ourselves. Start promoting our stuff and then start shipping it all across the world so that we can do what England had tried to do for us since we moved to America. And here we are bringing in everything from everywhere else in the world, and very little of our products are shipped to the small stores in various countries because we weren't making a lot of stuff in this country to ship over to those nations.
We guys just added two new products, a Tervis tumbler from Venus, Florida. 600 employees, I just had the CEO on. Hats off. They started in 1946 in Detroit, Michigan. And we just added green toys. Here I'm sitting 5 miles from where Fisher-Price started in West New York and East Aurora. They don't make one toy Fisher-Price don't make in America, but yet this green toys, I just got in today, we get the product, and they make toys in America. So we're making a difference.
There are many places that have not been able to get on the merchandise list. People have told me point blank, I worked very hard to get some shelving. It's impossible because the merchandisers want that extra profit for themselves. I think as people are buying the American-made stuff and the merchandisers are seeing, well, I'm not selling what I did before, but some of my American-made competitors are, maybe I should start putting some more American-made stuff on my merchandiser sheet. And that's what, when people go to the store, they speak up, they pick up the label. You're helping an American. You're helping your family, your friends, your neighbors. You're helping people of all races and creeds that live here in the USA. Please go out of your way to support everything that we're talking about and make your holiday even more special by offering family and friends something made here in the United States.
In our schools, Mike, we talk about our schools got to push it. National media, they've got to step up for 2019. That's what I want. Let them step up. We're a smaller group. We got to take this to another level.
Mark, it's amazing to me that the schools, that the media is not talking about our schools. They're saying the schools need more money. How about the schools need to put in more programs where the boys and girls graduate and have a job to go to?
You know, it's and I hate to open a can of worms with 2 minutes left, but one of our proudest companies, I think, in this country that we tout all over the world is General Motors. And the amount of money that we give to that corporation nationally and the breaks that they get, I think, are not representative in what they did to our union brothers and sisters by saying that they were going to mothball, close down, or that they didn't have vehicles to build in five plants.
It's funny you say that, Mark. My father was so fired up yesterday about that.
We bailed them out. I just can't imagine that this country bailed them out, and their response is, well, profit's a little bit more important right now. You know, if we go back in the program, we go back as deep as you can get. You remember when people asked me, what do you do about General Motors? They're too big to fail. I said, you know what you do? You let them do what happens in America.
Right. That's why they called government motors, because they bailed them out.
Let them fail. And I'll tell you what, it would have been tough on a lot of people, on the supply chain, on the employees, the union workers. that somebody would have come back with a car, somebody would have bought plants, somebody would have cleaned that whole automobile mess up.
And Larkin, Ford did it. Ford kept the headquarters here. Ford did it. They fought the fight on their own.
You know, Larkin, you're absolutely right. And I'm hoping that if they do close down those plants, that other companies will come in, take those plants over, and expand their lines of cars. And mainly it's vans. Everybody's going into vans these days. Let's build the vans, keep our people employed, and make those cars with a beautiful Made in the USA sticker on the back. No. We got to start sticking up for one another. Otherwise, no one's going to go out of their way to stick up for us. Period. That's what I think. Ladies and gentlemen, as Larkin said, and it's as you can see by the clock on the wall, it's getting very, very close. I hope all of you had a very enjoyable Thanksgiving. I'm encouraging you to do what you can to go out of your way to pick up products and services made in the USA. And by the way, if you're looking for something great, check out Mark Andel's store by going to madeinamericastore.com. I also want to mention again, you can listen to the very cheery voice of Rich Logis simply by going to the front page of americanworkersradio.com. Click on his picture and you'll go to his broadcast site. Also, Mark Andel is another very wonderful radio host. You can click right on his site to go to do some shopping there. And also right under that is the Made in America radio show. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I want to say thank you to Mark, Richard, Larkin, and also to Henry, as well as to all of the radio broadcasters that promote our message, our weekly commentary. We have been doing our job. It's up to the American people to do theirs. Thank you. God bless. God bless America.
Have a great week, guys.